Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with TG Watkins. He is the director of stocks over at Simpler Trading. Now TG, let's start off with the U.S. equity markets because, again, another good day for U.S. markets and another technically gap right now put into the charts as the S&P, Dow, NASDAQ all opened up. They all opened higher at the start of the day and have just garnered a buy throughout the day. The S&P is up 1.75%. The Dow is up 1%. NASDAQ is up 2.75% pretty much. This is all coming on the back of, I think it's two or three consecutive days where the market has put in this gap and continued to trade higher. Gap theory would say you need to fade this gap just because of how bullish, almost vertical, these markets are going. But you can also make the argument this is early on in potentially another breakout as the markets really were trading in a range there for a while. TG, how do you view these recent moves in U.S. equity markets?
Mostly what we're seeing this is on the daily chart for the S&P and for the Qs is this is a completion of an inverse head and shoulders pattern. And last week was, well, basically that was the end of it because the right shoulder was consolidating for a few days and then broke out on the SPY, broke out just past $340, which is where the left shoulder was had some, you know, just prior resistance. The other thing that we could see was that as of Thursday of last week, which was the 8th, the UVXY and the VIX started to break down. And that was a good sign because I tend to watch mostly the UVXY, which is a leveraged VIX. And the fact that it for several weeks had just been basing, we kind of looked at that and said, you know, volatility is still staying elevated. It looks as though people are still potentially hedging with this and the chance that the market rolls over. And on Thursday, when the UVXY actually started to break below this level, that was a sign that people were letting go of the UVXY as a hedge and just didn't need it, didn't have any interest in owning it and buying it. And so it started to deflate, which was part of the telltale sign that the market was ready to start moving up.
So another comment that I've had quite a bit when it comes to these markets and this recent move higher is that it's on stronger breadth. We're seeing small caps, mid caps also get a buy. It's not just tech that was moving higher. Actually, tech wasn't really part of that equation. However, you look at something today and the NASDAQ's up almost 3%. So that's obviously helping. What are your thoughts on the better breadth we're seeing and the potential of this being a more sustainable run?
Yeah, well, we are coming into the best time of the year, which is coming into, you know, Christmas and New Year's and then the start of the next year. So we got past September, which is a historically poor month, and the market did not disappoint. And now October was going to be just really messy and kind of not trending and all that stuff as we go into the election. So this is really quite exciting to see that the market is responding so well with all of this. Kind of where do we go from here? You know, it is extended. It's really far up there. We've had some really, really solid days the last few days. And anytime that we get some amazing moves like this, it always just makes me a little bit nervous because it just means that while it was very, very strong, it kind of just shot up, you know, it spurt. And so it's like, well, where's the support? The support isn't anywhere near it because price is starting to go vertical. And so, you know, we could hope that maybe the pullback is soft. Maybe this actually just kind of does more of a flag into support. But we do have to be aware that, you know, there's always the possibility that what goes up very quickly also comes down very quickly. And as far as broad-based support, what actually led the move up this time was the IWM. The IWM had been moving up several days before both the SPY and the Qs started to break out from that right shoulder. And so, yeah, that was a good indication when the Russell actually leads.
Now, what's causing this pop in broad markets? Because quite honestly, we still don't have a spending deal out of the U.S. government, the Fed. Fine, they have said time and time again that they're willing to be easy, and they are easy in their monetary policy. But nothing, at least in my eyes, has really changed over the last five trading days as these markets have simply garnered a buy, other than maybe the expectation that we might see a bit more of a blue wave in the election. But even then, that's tough to predict. We're still a ways away from all the votes being cast.
Yeah, this is it's tough to really put the finger on what is causing this. You know, as far as the elections or anything political, I can't really say towards that. I could just imagine that stimulus talk, since they are still continuing despite the ups and downs of both sides, they seem to be something that will happen eventually. So, you know, the market's going to like that. And then Trump getting COVID and actually bouncing back after a 3-day stint in the hospital, I think just optically is a good deal. You know, thank goodness, whether you like him or don't, thank goodness we didn't have a president that really became incapacitated and actually had this thing drag on for a while and put him into a tailspin or something. That would have been real bad just for politics in general. So I'm happy that COVID didn't look like it was too serious of a thing, that he got fixed up, and it actually shows that we might be doing pretty well with COVID and with treatments. Maybe if we keep backing up a little bit, we could also just say, well, based on technicals, we had a pretty big pullback. I mean, the S&P did quite a good pullback of, I'm trying to look here, at about 10%. So that is a nice standard 10% pullback from the highs. And, you know, if nothing else really out there changes, then that's just an opportunity. Because when price pulls back, everything goes on sale. And I think institutions, viewing that we probably had enough runway until the elections, then they said, hey, here's our discount purchasing opportunity. Let's take advantage of it.
There's still so much of this buy the dip mentality, though, right? Even though we had that big drop in March, and sure, everyone's worried that another washout could happen, it seems like the mentality is still back into this buy the dip, and that's very important to understand.
Yes, I agree, and I think that dip, in this case, was just a bigger dip. It was a 10% dip, and then we bought it.
Yeah. Hey, fair enough. That's definitely the way it's looking. And right now, the S&P is not far off of its all-time highs. I know it's hard to believe, but hey, that's just the market we are in.
Yeah, and then, one other thing about the buy the dip, if you actually look at the S&P and the NASDAQ on the weekly time frame, they both bounced off their weekly 21 EMAs, which is a pretty good buy point. It's a pretty strong moving average to have price bounce off of.
Yeah, look, there's strength in these U.S. markets. As much as some of the bears don't want to believe it, there's still a lot of money in the system, and that money has continued to stay within U.S. markets, and it even looks better from a breadth standpoint recently. Let's switch focus a little bit and talk about the cryptocurrency space, because it's something you and I were talking off mic, and I missed this story where Square has gone out and purchased a large amount of Bitcoin. Bring us up to speed on this story, please.
Yeah, I need to keep looking at some of the details, but when Square came out and said that they purchased 50 million Bitcoin, which, you know, is not cheap at this point, then that was, you know, in Bitcoin, Riot, Mara, Ethereum, a lot of those other names in the crypto space and things surrounding the crypto space really have been moving over the last couple of days. And I think what it is just giving more credence to Bitcoin and giving more credence to cryptocurrency. The fact that Square, which is kind of, it's an online payment processing thing, it's like PayPal, and Square has been doing exceedingly well ever since the COVID lows because, well, everything's been doing online purchasing. And you think about all the new technology, new tools that Square has been implementing. And when they came out and said, yeah, we're buying Bitcoin, I would imagine that they're looking at it and using it as currency. They figure, well, if they're all online digital currency anyway, like they run with credit cards and you do it online, it's like, well, what's the next difference between Bitcoin? It doesn't really seem to make much difference. And I think if people are comfortable with credit cards and all of our banking being online, like, we don't actually have to touch a dollar if we don't need to most times nowadays. And so what's too far away from Bitcoin?
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting move by Square. And we still don't know what their end game is, but it definitely seems like they would build up a Bitcoin position to use it maybe as a little bit of a hedge if they do start accepting cryptocurrencies. We, again, just don't know, but an interesting breaking story that could put that whole use argument for Bitcoin more in the spotlight.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, TG, it's great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this Columbus Day down in the U.S. and Thanksgiving up here in Canada. We'll chat again in another few weeks. Thanks, TG.
Thanks, Corey.